You got a good team coming in here, good coach, good coaching staff. So you're going to get a lot of things done. You're going to get a lot of situational work, red area, third down, two-minute, special teams, all the different special teams units will work. So I love them. I think you guys know that now. We've done it probably, what, 9 or 10 times now or something like that. So I think they're good. Playing in the stadium in front of your fans or on the road, I still think there's something to that, getting ready for a game and in front of a stadium crowd. But I do think that when you go against good competition for a couple days in a row in full pads, the different situations that come up, the different skill sets that you have to deal with across the ball from you, I think that's really good.
I'm not going to lie. I am in a state of just total resignation watching the Astros right now. They lost 5-1 last night, and I feel hopeless watching almost every hitter step up to the plate. For the first time in a long time, I'm watching the other team, and I'm watching the Rockies, and part of it is because I like their purple uniforms. I feel like they've just got better hitters. They've just got better hitters up and down the lineup. I'm looking at this Astros team, and we're basically, giving Kyle Tucker standing ovations for hitting a ball to the warning track.
Oh, boy, the celebration in the dugout. Did you see how happy everybody was? Hey, Kyle Tucker, look at that. You almost did something. Well, yeah, I mean, he did something good. It was a sack fly, but it was...
A sack fly where he advanced a runner, basically.
Yeah.
It's not even scored a run.
Am I wrong? 5 grams of creatine a day, and this dude has got like 10 home runs. It's as simple as
he
that.
He has been very, very close.
He's warning track Kyle.
It was hit
That's
well.
His nickname for now on. It's every time I turn on and I see him up, it's like by happenstance, it's warning track Kyle. So there you go, Kyle. Just a little bit of creatine, maybe a little bit of, some leg press,
what muscle should he be working on?
Whatever you do. He's got to work
legs,
those hips
arms,
a little bit.
Everything. Yeah.
Not his arms. It's, just,
some
it's
obliques.
All in it. It's the hips.
Little abs, too.
I'm sure he's doing all that. But, he needs sheer size. He needs sheer power. Like, it's not like, I'm going to fine-tune my core. He needs, he just needs to grow up a little.
Jeff Bagwell might have contacts.
I'm not saying maturity-wise. just keep your mouth
713.
Shut. Keep your mouth shut about all that.
It was the 90s. It was okay then.
Everyone was doing it.
All right, not to divert us.
They'll never expect it now in the 2018s.
Not to divert us too far off track here immediately, but since you bring up or allude to PEDs, does that strike anybody else as strange that Lane Johnson, who's twice been suspended for PEDs, has been talking so much smack about the Patriots? Like, all of a sudden, like, the Eagles and their star offensive tackle, who's been suspended for PEDs twice in, what, 4 years?
Yep.
Like, he's a right head. That he's the guy that's pointing out the errors of the Patriots' way. It's driving me crazy.
It's a fair hypocrisy.
I've learned to hate the Eagles in the course of just 6 short months. I despise them. No team, like, this is like the Warriors in fast forward. The Warriors, remember, they were lovable. I love them. These guys are just awesome. They're just a bunch of fun-loving kids out there having a good time. Now you despise them. But it took a couple years. I despise the Eagles because of Lane Johnson. And a little bit of Kelsey.
Maybe Lane Johnson isn't the right guy to be making the case that the Patriots are this, what exactly did he say? Basically that they're an organization where nobody has any fun.
Yeah.
And just the usual criticism that people have of the Patriots on the outside. He's probably not the guy to be making it, but when he's making those statements, he's probably not thinking, well, I'm Lane Johnson, 2-time PED suspension dude.
No, I get it. I don't understand why. Are Eagles fans probably a little bit embarrassed of Lane Johnson?
No
way.
Just
no, we're not.
Into
no,
it.
No.
You're not? You're just cool. You're like, hey, go, you cheat away, Lane Johnson.
Yes.
I know the next suspension is, what, 8 games, 12 games, whatever.
Probably the whole season.
The whole season. But you just keep pushing that envelope. Pride, Rocky, we've got that bell with a crack in it, and we've got Lane Johnson.
Ben Franklin.
Big old roid head. I remember talking to scouts when he was in college. One of my friends, I won't say who he was, because I think he divulged information he shouldn't have given. But he was talking about, like, hey, Lane Johnson, he is just mean and nasty. I'm like, well, yeah,
you
he's all roided up.
You hate that.
No, I don't hate it if they back it up, because he actually is, like, a good NFL player. I hate it when offensive linemen get credit as being mean and tough and nasty in college, and then they show up and they suck. That's what I really hate.
All right, so as far as the Astros
like Eric,
go.
Eric Fisher there.
The Astros have lost 9 games in a row at home. That is the longest home losing streak since 1966, which was the second year of the Astros. They have not won a game at home in a month since July 14th. July 14th,
and
a month.
It was acceptable to trip balls on drugs then. So what? You could actually, you know, put that to the side. Hey, it's the 60s. It's free. Let's have sex and do some drugs. Yeah. Distract ourselves. Now it's 2018. And what did I say yesterday? Uh-oh. Is it coming again?
You can't do it twice.
Oh, this is now.
Is this air raid?
This is nuclear
panic. And
nuclear panic. They're a game ahead of the A's. The A's.
DEFCON 2.
The A's are coming.
The A's are coming. They are coming. They're a game back.
One game playoff versus the equally disappointing New York Yankees.
Which that baseball?
The battle of the teams that are letting you down.
Boy, you want to talk about things that the people at Major League Baseball are not rooting for? That would be a situation. They would not want to see the Yankees and the Astros in a one-game playoff to remove one of their two best teams.
One of the actual contenders.
Yeah, because it's tough enough having the Indians in the postseason and having to do a series, but then if you lose one of those two teams, not ideal.
The ratings would be huge, though, at least for that one glorious moment. Yeah. They'd probably have an emergency session and have like a three-game playoff instead.
I don't know what to say. I mean, should we have been more critical of Jeff Luhnow for not adding a bat to the trade deadline? I mean, that's what was going through my mind last night. Like, should he have traded for a bat?
I don't know. At what point, like, did you consider that the offense would really genuinely be the problem long term with this team?
You thought they would come back at some point, and we did get, I don't know if it's clarity whenever the Astros talk about injuries, but AJ Hinch did address every single injury situation. Maybe the Astros could have done what Boston did. Boston got Steve Pierce from Toronto. He did not cost a whole lot for Boston to get, and Boston doesn't really have much left in their farm system, and he's been pretty good for them. He's been hitting home runs. He's been playing first base. He's been playing in the outfield. George Springer had some really interesting comments before the game. People were talking to him, and I guess Friday is the target date for his return. He said that the division race isn't something to be worried about before the game. Take a listen to what he said.
It's so funny how you can have the same exact record and all that stuff, but last year we had a 15-game lead. You know, it's not every year you're going to have a 15-game lead. That's huge. And, you know, we're still in first place, and I believe we'll be where we want to be at the end of the day. I mean, it's August 14th. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Good job knowing the actual date. That's something that usually eludes me. He did that without even looking at anything. He had to think about it for like a beat. So there you go. Nobody panic. It's almost eerie the way the Astros just routinely go into this mid, late August, early September doldrum. And then last year, obviously, they yanked themselves out of it with the help of one Justin Verlander.
Yes.
But it's, I can't hit the DEFCON 2 alarm signal when it's so clearly just at least partially due to health. If you put two of your very best players back in the lineup last night or versus any of these various offensive slumps that they've had in close games lately, then you get a few more wins out of those. And it's as simple as that. Same as it was last year, same as it's been really for 4 years now. There's so often that you can just point to simple health. And where early in the season, you're like, wow, look at the back end of this lineup. It's crazy. Just 1 through 9.
Yep.
You're stacked. Well, no, now you're not. Now 6 through 9, you're kind of nervous. And you're getting up to, Tony Kemp's your leadoff. Great. But he's not being delivered runners on base the way George Springer was earlier in the season because of the back end of the lineup.
Isn't it amazing, too, that for whatever reason, the offense struggles whenever Justin Verlander pitches? I tweeted this out. The Astros started the season 5-1 when Justin Verlander starts. In his start since, they've been 9-11 and have scored 3.05 runs a game, which is not a lot, obviously, and needs to be better. And that's when they've been healthy. It is weird since May.
It's weird, and it's one of those just freak things. I mean, I brought it up earlier, and you guys gave me dull, glazed-over LSD eyes, wondering what I was.
There wasn't a reason to panic.
I was explaining that Verlander really, like, Verlander, even at the time, I can't remember how many wins he had. He had, like, 11 wins at the time. I felt like he should have had 16 at the time. He's getting jilted this entire damn season.
And now they're getting shut down by pitchers who I have no idea who they are. Who the hell is this Marquez guy who pitched against him? I have no clue who that guy is.
He's an Astros slayer is what he is.
Marquez could have walked in here yesterday and I would have been like, hello, can I show you to where you need to go? I don't have any idea who this guy is.
Hey, not anybody can just, you know, take down Kyle Tucker and Maldonado the way he can. There you go.
I'm irrationally upset in my mind at Kyle Tucker because I'm foisting all of my issues with the offense onto him.
Every time I see him come up to the plate,
I'm thinking to myself, do you plan on doing anything this time? Anything? And he bounced to the pitcher in a key spot late last night.
What is it about Astros fans and Mike Meltzer that just can't seem, no matter how many times they see somebody dominate in AAA and get up, whether it's Derek Fisher or John Singleton or the whole slew of them, why is it that everybody thinks, oh, hey, you're hitting 350 in the minors, you'll probably be an all-star in 3 months? I don't understand why the rush. Everybody's angry about it. I can't believe the Astros are holding Kyle Tucker down.
Well, that's what
and
Paul
then,
said.
Right, no. And then I look, I basically, this is what I do. This is my strategy with baseball. And I just have a ton of fun with it. I basically plagiarize whatever Jeff Luno or AJ Hinch says. I twist it around a little bit. I say it. And then the baseball literati tell me, well, Seth, you know, you just don't know baseball. So I'm sitting there and I'm like basically saying, like, I'm basically reciting what Jeff Luno was saying a few months ago about the areas where Kyle Tucker still needed development before he could advance. And everybody's like, oh, Seth, you just don't know baseball. They're just holding them down just because of service years and whatnot. I'm like, look, there's more to it than that. And then lo and behold, he gets up here. And yeah, don't get angry at Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker should be down in the minors riding around on buses.
Or doing whatever happens in Fresno, which I'm assuming is some variant of T-ball, because everyone in Fresno is hitting 700 with 100 home runs.
He's hitting 140. If he was hitting 235, and I know he's been unlucky technically if you look at the advanced stats, the Klongdorps and all that, yeah. But he's hitting 140. If he was hitting 230, I'd be like, okay, well, I can see it. Like Bregman 2 years ago when he came up and it was horrible. At least when you're watching him every night, he had quality at bats where you feel like, okay, the process is pretty good. The results are just bad right now.
I guess the strategy was, and this is what, like AJ Hinch, again, I'm going to go ahead and I'll plagiarize AJ Hinch and I'll say, they brought him up when they brought him up because they had to find out what they genuinely had in him. And they
That's
found
fine.
Out. And then now because of circumstances, he's up again. And it's not ideal, but it's again, it's only because of injuries. Don't be mad at him right now. He does not belong up here right now.
He flat out does not belong up here right now.
It's just and he won't be here whenever everybody gets back.
Seth, I know that you like to quote Jeff Luno, AJ Hinch. Do you mind if I quote the historian of our time, a man who wrote a book about the Astros championship, Brian T. Smith, a tweet out column, the Astros haven't been the same team without Jose Altuve. Yeah. I mean, these are the kind of things that you don't get from Luno or AJ Hinch. You just get it from BTS, man. He gives you that truth that you don't know about.
You know what it is? I'll go back to blaming Carlos Beltran and his early retirement. And I say early retirement in that, like, what was so hard about last year? Just, you know what? Come back. Play for $1 million for the Astros just to be clubhouse guy. You don't even need to be active. They can put you on permanent DL and you can just be in the dugout. There was something about Carlos Beltran. He was like their little Buddha doll. Like they could have just rubbed his belly before they came up every bit. The difficulties, the stress of the season, the length of the season, working with young guys like Kyle Tucker. You miss Carlos Beltran, damn it.
Maybe he's in witness protection from the Yakuza because he still signs from Yu Darvish. You never know.
I saw about a photo this weekend. Somebody put something on Twitter or Facebook, some kind of event. So he's alive.
Well, no, he had, maybe they're showing him because it was the bobblehead, the Carlos Beltran.
Oh, was it?
Bobblehead,
okay.
Yeah.
I confused him with the bobblehead.
Did you actually hear him?
No,
that was a bobblehead. My bad.
he looked pretty active, moving around a lot.
John McClain will join us a little bit earlier this hour because the Texans are taking on the 49ers in a practice later this morning at 9 o'clock.
It's going to be hot. There's going to be violence. There's going to be intrigue. There's going to be fighting because that's what happens.
Hot-ass
Jimmy G. At combined practice, yeah.